Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are glad you're here. With so many voices out there, news, social media, even comedians and friends, it's really tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. Well, we want to help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. Let's get into it. Jeffrey?
Joseph, did you get new shoes?
They're new-ish.
Yeah.
In terms of timeline, I actually got these for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And we're sitting here in September.
Yeah.
But I did not wear them much over the summer because I had another pair similar that I'm like, I don't need to like get rid of this pair before I wear the new pair.
Yeah, big shoes, Joe. How many cows had to give their life to make that shoe?
These are Hey Dude, so probably none. pretty sure these are some kind of pleather.
Are they pleather?
Yeah. I like Hey Dudes a lot. I just don't think they're real.
My kids have gotten me I'm not into shoes. My kids, about 3 years ago, they're like, Dad, your shoes. And so they basically started buying me shoes for Christmas and for Father's Day. And so if I have anything remotely, they kind of got me into the like nice sneaker, not like the multi-thousand dollars, but like, sneakers from like, where's the sneaker store?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not that guy either.
They buy for
the
Foot Locker. Yeah.
Foot Locker would be a big
Jason
one.
Jason just filled me in on that. He pointed to a locker and said foot.
Yeah. I'm like Amazon. Amazon is where I get a lot of my shoes. Sometimes from Marketplace.
I buy shoes from Marketplace all the time.
Yeah.
The
only time I'm really, really picky is if I'm going to like be really active in them. So like if I'm doing a vacation, we're doing a lot of walking or my workout shoes, because I know that if I don't wear good shoes when I'm really active, then my feet hate every shoe I put on my foot.
Yeah, my back, you know, my favorite shoe I got in Japan, that's not a flex, but I was in Japan.
I mean, it kind of is.
And, yeah, a little bit. I was in Japan on an Eastern swing, and I hurt my foot, and so I couldn't get regular shoes on, so I needed like a flip flop. Mm-hmm. So I got these Nike slides. I've never seen them in the U.S. It's like wearing a pillow.
Oh wow!
They're amazing, and they're yellow, and so my family, mostly Heidi, makes fun of me for these. I'm like, I don't care. Well, only Donnie Varney. Donnie was like, he got a pair, but his are gray. He's like, because I'm like, they're the most comfortable shoe in the history of shoes. And Donnie's like, I'll actually vouch for that.
Wow.
I love these shoes.
That's awesome.
But I don't wear them to church because they are yellow.
Yeah. So you used to be the flip-flop guy. I mean, flip-flops were more of a thing 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could bring it back with your yellow Nikes.
I could. Yeah. Nowadays, you wear flip-flops. The young people are like, put your toes away.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It has totally shifted. I'm sure everything else will come back around.
Oh, yeah. It's a rebellion.
Yeah. No, I didn't think of myself as a shoe guy. And to the level of, like, I don't have four pairs of Jordans and stuff like that. But I've become more and more of one. Like, I have certain kinds of shoes for certain types of things. And
I think I become – I'm not a shoe guy. I've come to appreciate the shoes my kids get for me because they're comfortable.
Yes.
And then now it's like, you can kind of be a little bit in style and it's comfortable. Remember back in the 90s, it was like a dress shoe with a really long toe on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, I'm like, those are miserable.
I was in a Tux, I think, once with those. It was awful.
Yeah. And now you're just, well, the shoes I have on right now, I bought for my son's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, Dad, we're all wearing Nikes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, where were you when I got married?
Yeah, there's guys that
I had to rent the Tux shoes.
And those Tux ones are so, and they cut into your ankles.
Cut into your ankles. They're like shiny black plastic. They were miserable. Yeah. And you rented them.
Yeah, you give them right back. They're awful. Yeah. There's some people at my gym that are into the wide toe box. I don't know if you've heard that
before. I don't even know what those are.
But it's basically anti those shoes where, like, instead of compressing your foot in the front, they're designed to spread out. Your foot is.
Oh, really?
And so the front of the shoe is a little bit wider so your foot can naturally do them. Like, it's a fascinating world.
You ever seen those shoes where, like, the toes are defined in the shoe?
Oh yeah. Five-fingered shoes or whatever.
Yeah, they're gross.
Yeah, they're they have their place in functionality, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yep. So, well, there's no good segue from that. we do have one of our listeners. They submitted a question today, and there's a lot in here, Jeff. And I think we just want to help them through it. She writes, I often hear the church talk about how God is a loving father and the ways that that can help people with father wounds. But what about those of us with deep mother wounds? Mm. Things like neglect or abuse or lack of nurture. Since God is almighty, is it biblical to look to God to meet needs left by a missing or a broken mother relationship too? What does the Bible say about how God and Jesus might come alongside those who are in need of a loving mother relationship, and can that be met spiritually?
Yes, for sure it can be met spiritually, and I'm sorry that you have those wounds, mm-hmm. and a lot of people do, mm-hmm. you know, and so we talk about God being a father because that's how the scripture talks about God being a father. It's a title that is given to God. And I will say this, God is not feminine. So you'll hear leftists and people who are not faithful to scripture say God is a she, God is a her. Yeah. You know, you'll kind of see that on the fringe of religion that's been perverted. So God is not a she, God is not a her. The Bible only describes him as a him, mm-hmm. and as a father. However, the Bible describes God as a father outside of the boxes that we would lock fatherhood into. So when we read the scripture and you're reading about God, you will definitely read descriptions of God being strong and God being a defender and God being a provider and God being just and God being loving and merciful and forgiving. And these are all attributes that we... In the West, we often attribute to fatherhood.
Yep.
But you will also say, you will also read that God gathers us like a hen gathers her chicks. Mm-hmm. You'll hear that God is loving. God is knowing. So he knows the number of hairs on your head. God is sacrificial. He'll mm-hmm. lay down his life, Jesus, obviously, for his sheep. God is redemptive. God is merciful. God is waiting. Think of the father and the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see archetypes in scripture in which women are the archetype or the illustration of the nature of God. So think of Queen Esther. Mm-hmm. She's an archetype. She was a real person, but she's also an archetype of a redeemer and one who intervenes to save others, mm-hmm. and willing to lay her life down. You see this in Ruth, mm-hmm. and she was an archetype of godliness and the nature of God, etc. The priorities of God. You see this in Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, and then you also see like Deborah, who was a judge of the Old Testament, who led Israel into war.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So we take Western boxes and stereotypes and apply them to God. That's not all bad. I don't mean that as this big criticism. It's just the way that we think. Mm-hmm. But when you read the scripture, you won't find God in that box. So I say all that to say this, God is our Father, but God perfectly represents everything that we would think of as masculine, and perfectly represents everything that we would think of as feminine. Mm-hmm. And a healthy mother and a healthy father in a intact home, the ideal outcome of that is that you have in a healthy father and in a healthy mother a more complete picture of the true nature of God. Mm-hmm. So I did not grow up in a perfect home by a long shot, but I had a loving mother and a loving father. And if you said, are you more like your mom or your dad? I'd be like, I'm like my mom and my dad. Mm. They pass themselves on to me. There's ways that I'm more like my dad, and there's ways I'm more like my mom. But I'm not the spitting image of my father or my mother. I am a result of a loving mother and father. So if you then said to me, how do you understand God? Depending on what we're talking about, I would say my mom taught me that or my dad taught me that.
Sure.
So when you're in an unhealthy home, what happens is those wounds cut deep into the soul. It's two relationships that you have no control over in your life. You have no control over who your parents are, and you have no control over who your children are. So your biological children are who God chose to give you, and your parents are your parents. Everybody else, we have a voice, and friends, even spouses, etc. So when you have a broken father figure or a broken mother figure, those wounds strike deep into the soul.
Yeah,
is how that happens, and both of them affect your view of God. The reason that we talk about, you know, the father affecting your view of God so much is because, like I said, the scripture talks about God in terms of the masculine of the father, and then we translate that into our Western world. Mm-hmm. That's why we in the West do that. That's not a biblical principle. That is a cultural principle. But you can take that same principle and apply it to motherhood and how it affects your view of God in the same way.
Yeah. As someone that I did not have a perfect relationship with my mother by any stretch of the means, there's a lot of complications in there, especially in my adulthood. I was actually super intrigued by this question because I don't think I've ever asked that question bluntly before. And so I actually even went through and found some different scriptures that illustrate a lot of what you're talking about. And the one that struck me, I think, the most was in Isaiah 66. It says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said, it's not God saying, I'm the feminine figure in your life. But the things that you might be missing from your mother, I bring to the table. I provide all these things that you need. You didn't, quote unquote, need your mother. You needed me. Some are gifted a healthier parent than others, and that's just a part of how life shakes out. But it was just, as I walked through a bunch of these, and if the listener was interested, I could send some of the scriptures I found. It was just fascinating to see exactly what you're saying. God fills in those gaps. God shows up in these ways, and it ends up being almost ironically comforting to realize, oh, God's not left me in the dust just because I didn't have the greatest relationship with my mom.
Yeah.
And then even some of the language that the scripture uses to describe the Holy Spirit is very similar to, like, Jesus says he's the comforter, says he's the helper. Well, in traditional role settings, those are words that are often given to the mother figure. And so I find that to be fascinating as well.
Yeah. I think in our Western minds, when we think of strength and we think of protection and we think of guidance and we think of power, we think of our dads. When we think of comfort and mercy and love and acceptance, we think of our mom. I remember when the kids were younger, we have five boys and then our one daughter, and now we have three daughter-in-laws too, but when it was just the originals, the five boys and our one daughter, I remember there was a phase of the boys being raised where they were like, Dad is the greatest thing that ever happened on planet Earth, and Mom just doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And so they're like 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that, you know, and they're figuring out masculinity. Dad can do no wrong. He's unbelievably strong. He knows how to do everything. You know, those kind of things. And I remember, not only is it like Dad's great, but it's kind of like Mom's dumb. You know, she doesn't know how to run the chainsaw. Dad does. You know, that kind of thing. And I remember Heidi would get on her nerves, you know. And I said to her one time, I said, honey, you ever seen a professional athlete on the sidelines wave at the camera and say, hi, Dad? Mm-hmm. That there is a affection that a mother has in a son's heart, that it's a place a father doesn't stand. Mm-hmm. We stand. It's not that my boys don't love me. I'm just not their mom.
Yep.
And they need that love and comfort and acceptance. Mom's easy to talk to. All those kind of things. The things that you turn to in your mom. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what's fascinating is I always kind of put my foot down with the boys, and then Heidi was always kind of like, "It's okay." And with my daughter, Heidi kind of put her foot down with Naomi, and I'd be like, "Come here, sweetheart. What do you want Daddy to buy you?"
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of thing. So that's just health.
Yeah.
Now with the Lord is both of those things completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that tenderness is feminine. It's that tenderness is godly.
Yeah.
Or that justice is masculine. It's that justice is godly. And all Heidi and I were doing, we were reflecting different parts of godliness to our children in different situations. We weren't being feminine or masculine.
Mm-hmm.
We were being godly.
Yeah.
And when godliness needed to be brought to a masculine perspective, it was my job to do that with the boys. When godliness needed to be brought through a feminine perspective, it was Heidi's job to do that with Naomi, et cetera. See how that works?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what you're missing with a broken relationship or a strained relationship with your mom, I know this sounds weird, so but let me play it out. You're not missing your mom being a woman. You're missing a healthy presentation of what we would perceive as the feminine characteristics of godliness.
Hmm. Wow.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And you and a mom who's broken or missing or passed away or whatever it is, I just haven't been taught, or it's harder for me to understand that part of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have been friends a long, long time. So I happen to know, like, you really love your mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
See, you would learn it somewhere else, but you're not like, my mother-in-law is my mom now.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, I respect or appreciate parts of her. She's wonderful. She's not perfect, but like parts of her. And I'm like, oh, that's what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear. It moved from a fact you knew about God to something that you, godliness that you get to watch play out in real time,
mm-hmm.
and then it clicks
yep.
for you. So as like a girl dad, like you are,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I'm really grateful there's women, Mandy, your mom, or your mother-in-law and others, like there's women in my life who showed me that so I can now demonstrate or help my daughter
mm-hmm.
find godliness in whatever area we're talking about.
Yeah, I was looking for an excuse to bring up my mother-in-law. And I will say that when she bakes me fresh bread, she's close to perfection.
When she bakes anybody fresh bread,
yeah, she's pretty
yeah, we're going to we saint her. Yeah,
maybe the next episode we can have some sitting here.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Come on, like, Jan.
Yeah,
come on, help us out.
No, it is very true, though. Like, and what I was able to be gifted in my mother-in-law, and of course, not everybody's even gifted that because there's a lot of cliche sometimes about in-laws. But what I would love to ask, and I think help our listener with, is where do we find some of those glimmers, those glimpses, those reflections of healthy women to kind of build some of that reflection of who God is?
This is Paul's challenge of the older women need to teach the younger women, and they're to teach younger women godliness, and older men are to teach younger men godliness. So sometimes you're able to get that from like your mother-in-law. Like if you're my mom, she didn't get it from either side.
Yeah.
So she had to find it in the church, and she would find sisters or older mother type figures in the church. There's different church traditions where they'll actually call the older women mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good in some ways. You're like, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're mothering. That doesn't, it doesn't mean they make cookies and give you hugs every day. It means that they're showing you what mm-hmm. godliness looks like. played out in a feminine way. And then the older men, they'll call them church fathers.
Sure.
Yep. And it's the same thing. So you can look for it in the church. You can look for it. What I encourage people to do who are trying to break cycles is find a family that you admire and be around them and buy them. You don't have to become adopted per se, but find, in this case, a woman, a mother who has raised godly children, mm-hmm. and their children love her and call her blessed, mm-hmm. like Proverbs 31 says. And just say, hey, can I talk to you? Can I pick your brain? Can I ask you a question when I get confused? And 99% of the time, those women will in the church will do that for you because mm-hmm. they love you. And I know my mom, this is way back in the day when you talked on the telephone, she would spend hours sometimes on the phone with other women mm-hmm. Because my mom kind of found her way, I guess. But she was pretty passionate about helping other women find their way. So it's the church. Think of it. Not, you would have a mentor in business. You might have a mentor in education. Think of just that with being a wife and being a mom. I think what we have to be careful. Sometimes young moms and dads are the boldest and the quickest to share their opinions. Mm. I'm like, find the old ones, but not the old ones who are like, I survived being a parent. Like, find the old ones who are like, my kids love me. I love them. Yep. They're part of our lives in a healthy way. And those kids walk with God and be like, what do you do? I do this frequently, but I'm thinking of one person in particular, broken home, no dad. And he called me one day. He's like, I am scared. He found out he's going to have a baby with his wife. He's like, I am scared to death of being my father. Mm. And so I met with him several times. We call him dad lessons. I'm like, let me help you, bud. Because mm-hmm. He's like, your kids like you, and you didn't leave them. I'm like, yep. You know, I love my kids. They love mm-hmm. me. I think they're involved in my life in a healthy way. You know, what'd you do? Well, I'll tell you what I did, and I'll tell you what they did. Because I like to say my kids make me look good. They chose not to rebel against me.
Yeah.
it's not all good parenting. They get credit for it.
Sure.
So just look for those kind of relationships. Yeah. And sometimes that's a Bible study. Sometimes it's a women's group. Sometimes it's a Jesus community or a life group. You know, those environments are all around the church. Yeah. And look for them.
I think... one set of like very, very, very practical advice I would give on how to formulate those relationships. If you find, for instance, the woman that you would love to learn from, start with simple one-time asks. Don't like go all the way there with, would you be my mentor?
Yeah.
I think that when, even for the potential mentor, if you say, would you be my mentor? That sounds overwhelming, but would you mind grabbing a cup of coffee with me? I'd love to pick your brain.
Yep.
Almost everybody will say yes to that. Even if it just takes a little bit of time to figure out the schedule. And if that goes well, the second question is, would you mind if I asked some point in the future to do this again? And just see what sparks out of that, the one time, because you might eventually land on, this person became my kind of surrogate mother relationship.
Yeah.
But let it become that, as opposed to trying to define it early. And that's kind of across the board for any mentor. But if you can start there, you're helping the mentor realize they might be able to help you. You're not putting the pressure on either of you that this has to work out for the long haul, and it becomes much more natural to build. So yep. I've just seen that backfire the other way. Like, would you be my mentor? They're like, no. And you're like, why don't I? And now they feel ashamed, and now they're going to try to ask. And
just build a relationship.
Right.
Here's the number one thing. Ready for the number one thing, Jim? Number one thing. Just know, understand, and follow Jesus, mm-hmm. and you will be the mom that you didn't have, mm-hmm. because we're talking about godliness, and that's what you were missing,
yep.
in your life. And I understand, like, the mom relationship, and be proud of me, and I'm not trying to minimize that at all, But ultimately, that's what we're missing, and that's what the Lord is assuring us of in Scripture, that He actually does feel that way about you and loves you in that way.
I will agree with you. That's the number one thing. I was wondering if I was going to combat it. I'll let that be the number one. Now, if you've got questions like this that you'd like us to tackle, we'd love to interact with those. Head over to bath.gracechurches.org, just like this last listener did. Add on the /mixed messages to the end of the URL there and send them our way. We would love to hear how these are helping you. And even if you wanted to follow up on a secondary question, let us know those things. Reach out. Let us help you as you continue to navigate all these mixed messages around you. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend if you're looking for a place to build those relationships and maybe find some of those parental figures in your life that can help you along the way. Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to see God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.